So what Terry gave us was kind of a combination of things. But it's interesting in Matthew's account of this baptism story, it's actually a little bit unique. It's from Matthew that we hear that John actually tries to talk Jesus out of being baptized. John says, well, you don't need to be baptized, and I'm not worthy of doing it. But Jesus insists. He says it's necessary, according to some translations, it's necessary to fulfill God's justice, or some translations say to fulfill all righteousness. So my question this week was, what is it about being baptized that is actually so important for Jesus? Why does he believe it's key to the idea of justice and righteousness? Now, beliefs about baptism can vary quite widely among Christians. But I think generally Christians agree that baptism is a sacrament. It's a holy and sacred ritual which creates kind of a thin place between us and God, bringing us closer in contact with the divine, with the loving and creative energy that we call God. In other words, it's fundamentally about our relationship with the holy. Now, John says he baptizes for repentance, but that too is about relationship. To repent is to change our hearts and minds. It's to turn from the world's selfish path, that of pursuing wealth and power, and walk instead towards God, choosing a relationship with the divine and following the path of love and justice. And when we are baptized, we enter into covenant, a partnership with God. We let go of what was and open ourselves to transformation, proclaiming our desire to be reborn in love. We claim God in our baptism, and God claims us. And to be in that kind of relationship with God is actually what it means to be righteous. Because righteousness isn't just about being a good person. In the Bible, Abraham, for example, is considered righteous not because he was morally perfect, but because he lived his life trusting God's guidance. Being righteous isn't so much about being right as it is about being in right relationship, having the relationship with God that we were created to have. And so when Jesus insists on being baptized, he's entering into a covenant with God. And I think the baptism wasn't necessarily because he needed to repent to change his heart, but because he heard God's call on his life, and he needed to publicly affirm his willingness to answer that call, to follow where God would lead. It was a declaration to himself, to God, and to the people that he was putting his trust in God. He was fulfilling all righteousness. He was claiming God for his life. And in turn, God claims Jesus. The Spirit descends and God declares, "This is my own, my beloved, on whom my favor rests." And from this covenant formed between Jesus and God, from this formation of right relationship, springs something new, a new way of life, a Spirit-led life, a love and justice-filled life. The prophet Isaiah says that God delights in those who enter into this new way of being, who open themselves to the Spirit's transformation. They don't cry out in anger or bitterness or fear, but they are faithful, gentle, and strong. They are people of justice, looked upon others as an example to the nations, people who model the way things can be, the way things were created to be, a world based in love, a world where all people find justice and the opportunity to live full and authentic lives. And this is God's call to us, God's invitation to be, as we talked about last week, lights in the darkness, to turn toward the divine and say, here I am, to open ourselves to the Spirit and become people of love. And as we do that, as we open to the Spirit's guidance, we might need to first empty our souls, let go of some attachments that might otherwise hold us back and keep us separated from the divine. Things like our desire for power, perhaps, our attachment to wealth, our wish to be better than anyone else. That last one, that need for humility, is in fact modeled in Jesus when he comes to be baptized. As we said, John didn't want to do it, basically saying that Jesus was too good to be baptized by him. But Jesus disagrees. He shows through his baptism and much of his later ministry as well that he is not set above anyone else. If baptism is the expected declaration of one's willingness to answer God's call, then that is what Jesus needed to do. I think humility is perhaps the first step in opening our hearts to the Spirit. God's way of love asks us to walk in compassion, empathy, and respect for others, and we can't do that if we're putting ourselves over them, if we think that we're better than they are. We're all on this journey together. If our desire is to create a just world where we can be our authentic selves, then we need to be willing to come together and to support each other, everyone equally worthy of love and respect, and not divide each other into the haves and the have-nots. We nurture an attitude of humility by listening to others, trying to understand their experiences and their situations, their circumstances. And this leads us to a more inclusive world view, helping us understand just how much we really have in common with those that we might otherwise be tempted to demonize. And we can also practice mindfulness, observing rather than jumping to conclusions and judgments. This too leads us away from selfishness and toward a better understanding of the world around us. And we might practice an attitude of openness, cultivating our willingness to learn and to grow. Next time we make a mistake, for example, or do something embarrassing, instead of getting defensive or trying to deny it, which is usually my first move, what if we instead say, well, okay, I messed up. What can I learn from that? Gratitude also helps shift us beyond our own selves. Instead of spending time complaining about how the world is out to get us as if we were the center of the world, what if we purposely took time to name all of the good things about life? Finally, freely giving of ourselves without expectation and willingly accepting offerings from others, whether it be help or praise or whatever, also moves us past our selfishness and into a spirit of humility. All of these things, by helping us cultivate that humility within, open us then to the Spirit's guidance and move us toward right relationship with the divine, which in turn leads us closer to a justice-filled world, because that's God's desire for us. Justice and peace in the world is where God is trying to lead us. None of this, baptism, opening our hearts to the Spirit, being in right relationship with the divine, is actually only about us as individuals. When we are baptized, part of what we claim and what God claims for us is our place in the family of God, in the body of Christ. It all comes back to community. Now, Christians tend to hear the prophet Isaiah talking about the servant of God sent to save the world and naturally think about Jesus. And I think that's great. That works. But Isaiah was probably really talking about the nation of Israel in that passage. God's people in holy covenant with God, Israel as the servant, created to be a model for the world, a light in the darkness that brings forth true justice, Isaiah says. And I think there's two important things there. First, Isaiah specifically calls out the idea of true justice. A lot of people, like a lot of our politicians these days, think justice means revenge or punishment, or that whatever benefits me personally must be justice. But true justice is caring about the greater good, empathy for others, creating equitable and fair communities where everyone is supported and nurtured and empowered to become their best self. It doesn't mean punishing those who murder, for example. It means creating a world where murder doesn't exist. Second, Isaiah isn't only calling Israel to be God's servant. He's not only calling Jesus to be God's servant. Isaiah, I think, is calling all of us, especially as we are gathered in the church. To me, the church today should be the model for what God wants in the world, that light in the darkness that brings forth true justice. Now, unfortunately, just like Israel in the Bible, the church often fails at this. But I do believe it is what God consistently and faithfully calls us to strive for and to become. To come together, to support each other, to create something new and different apart from the world's cruelty. An important part of that is calling out the cruelty, naming the injustice, using our prophetic truth-telling voices in protest when government goons murder innocent victims like Renee Good, for example. But part of it is also being the loving, just, and peaceful community we want the world to be. Entering into covenant, opening ourselves to the Spirit, drawing on the strength, wisdom, and patience that God offers us to become light for those in need. So if you haven't been baptized, or maybe whether or not you've been baptized, if you don't, because I don't think baptism is actually necessary to be in right relationship with God. It's a public declaration of that intent. But maybe we don't find ourselves in right relationship with God this evening. We might ask ourselves, do we hear the call to open ourselves to the Spirit and claim our place in the body of Christ? To bring forth true justice in the world? How do we respond? Maybe if we haven't been baptized, maybe that's what we hear the call to do, is to become baptized. And if we have been baptized, and if we were baptized as a baby, maybe affirmed that as a teenager, we can hear that same call and renew our commitment. Renew our commitment, come humbly coming before God and saying, "Here I am, your faithful servant." Let us just be in a moment of silence. Amen.